Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. It's that time of year again. The earth is waking up, the first flowers and shoots are blooming, and gardening enthusiasts across the region are flexing their green thumbs as they prepare for another growing season. But with climate change and extreme weather events, the techniques of the past may not be best for the present. On this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Jay Shah is joined by Conchita Gibson, co-founder and president of the Wild Ones Delmarva chapter, to dig into what you can do with your land this spring.
So at this point in the growing season, what preparation should gardeners undertake?
Yeah, I think the biggest heads up that you can give for yourself in your garden is going to be having a general plan of what you want out of your spaces. You don't have to have all the specifics. You can fill those in as you go. But knowing like, okay, this is where is going to be a good spot for veggie gardening. Here's going to be a good spot for some ornamental. I need curb appeal here or there. And then from there, you can fill in your specifics. And especially if you're working in a newer space, if you're starting a newer garden, if you moved in a year ago this year, it's good to take some time to observe your conditions and maybe do some test plants. So, you know, buy some different plants, know what conditions they're needing, and just test them out, put them in different places and see how they do. That kind of design and planning process, designing for maintenance, is something that's really, really key for the future of your garden as well.
This brings to mind this idea of perception. I've heard from other people in conversation with ecologists, biologists, gardening experts, foragers, and conservationists that when we think about making choices about what we want in our yard, it's always the perception that don't go for this plant just because it's pretty. Go for the alternative, which is the native plant. But then there's also those who believe that that perception needs to be reversed, that the native plant shouldn't be the alternative. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's all about perception and it's all about, you know, the worldview that we're taking. There are plenty of native plants that look exactly like the non-native plants. And so I think changing the mindset of like, oh, the only, you know, native plants aren't pretty or native plants aren't, you know, ornamental. They totally are. They totally are. What the problem we run into is that the nursery trade, in order to scale on those large scales and have consistent quality and stock, you know, all the business side of it, it has to be consistent within that model. And so you're getting only a certain number of species, and they have to be able to be cultivated anywhere or shipped anywhere safely and get there and looking nice. And so I think we tend to think, oh, the only thing that's pretty is this, because the opposite is native plants are in a meadow and they're all really scraggly and weird looking. Where if you're doing it right and if you're choosing the right species for your space, you know, you can put a boxwood anywhere. Does it look great everywhere? It really is up to the people that are looking at it to see. There are some cues that we take as a society of like what is neat versus what is nature and dirty and dangerous, perhaps. You know, we tend to think that, you know, open mulch areas signify.
Dangerous.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of... the idea that I'm going to plant a meadow in my front yard. Well, you're going to attract snakes. Like that's going to be a problem, or maybe ticks or this or that.
Japanese barberry is a breeding ground for ticks. Apparently.
Correct. Exactly.
Right.
And this is the perception that you're talking about is we only know a certain amount of information. We only know what's being sold to us effectively with, you know, you don't get a ton of, there are some, you know, landscaping informational things out there. But a lot of the information we get about plants is from the people who are selling them to us, right? And me as a business owner that also sells plants, you know, like I am within that. I totally get that. You got to maintain your business. You want good quality stock. You want things to be consistent quality wise. You want reliable plants to sell. But flipping that mindset into thinking more like, what if I did shop locally? What if I did take a chance on this plant that looks a little bit different. Does it have to be a certain way for it to be, for it to be cued to me that, oh, that's a maintained landscape. That's not a maintained landscape. Because there are unmaintained areas, but a good meadow is still maintained. You still have to do some stuff to it. Native plants are not set it and forget about it. You do have to maintain. It's less maintenance for sure, because what you're doing is creating that balance where, you attract the things that maintain themselves, and so there's still a little bit. Going back thousands of years, people have been maintaining the landscape. It was never, I always say in some of my business talks, the wild TM, we've been sold this idea that there's people spaces and then there's nature spaces, when in reality, it's all nature spaces. We have just developed over some of those spaces. We still have issues because if we didn't, no one would be worried about attracting snakes or attracting ticks, right? So I think what we try to do with Wildlands Delmarva is to address some of these perceptions, some of these cultural ideas that we've been told, that we've searched on the internet, that we've been sold through different means and such, and really try to give people the information to make their own good choices. And I do that for my business as well. Like, I'm not here to tell you what you should do, to police your consumer choices, things like that. What I take my job is to share as much information, give you all the different options, tell you real talk what's happening. If you put this in your garden, what's going to happen? What have I seen? What have other people seen? What ends up being the long-term, not, I guess, consequences, but once you change a variable in a system, all the
Right.
other variables will respond to it. And so
There is
really is.
impact regardless of what you do, right?
Exactly. And so, obviously through Wildlands, we push native plants because they provide the most benefits, the most balanced ecosystem. You might get a snake in your yard, but you'll also get the predator that comes in and eats it pretty quickly, right? So you're rebound, and predator, I mean like a bird, like
Yeah.
an owl, right? So it's hard. We will never be able to create sterilized spaces outside. You can't. It's just not possible. Unless you are also your if unless your house is in like a glass bubble, right? Like if it's outside, it becomes part of the system. So what can you do with your plant choices, with the information that you're able to find, with knowing what's around your house? Do you have a lot of snakes? Do you have foxes? Do you have anything else you can think of, and then addressing things in a way that is holistic and balances what you've got outside.
So, springtime is definitely, it seems like a good time to do all of this, pre-planning, hard work on a computer or just like through books and whatnot, because this isn't necessarily the time where you start rushing to plant everyone into the ground because the season is just beginning, right?
Yeah, you can. There are some species that flower. Any of the species that flower early, flower in the spring, is you do want to plant those in the spring, just because by the end of the season they're kind of spent on energy and it can be stressful. You can plant them, but their availability actually may not even be around because they're, kind of spent for the year. So anything that blooms earlier is always a good option for planting in the spring. Fall is a really, I feel like, a little underestimated great time to plant though, because it's after the heat of the summer. You plant them in, they have some acclimation time, and then they go dormant in the wintertime, which is what they need to sleep anyway. And now they've got a good rest before they, start growing again next year. I'll mention the research right now, climate-wise, is indicating we are going to have a really strong El Nino this year. And El Nino in our area tends to bring very hot, very dry, very droughty. And if it's as bad as they're currently projecting, it's going to be a long one, and it's going to be pretty gnarly, and it's going to be really tough. So I would personally, from my business side of the house, I would recommend planting earlier this year if you can, maybe till the second week of May, because if we get an early El Nino in June, that's going to be really tough for new plants as they're getting acclimated. It takes 2, 3, 4 weeks for the initial acclimation period, but that first year is important for plants for long-term health. Even our native plants that can tolerate, our native plants are used to, I say used to, El Ninos and La Ninas and such. But it can still, with as bad of as El Nino as it's looking like, it might be better to get your spring planting done this year in particular by that second full week of May. And then just let things acclimate, and anything you didn't get to, save it for the fall once the drought breaks.
Right. And I was about to ask, how do they save the ones that they couldn't get into the ground in containers or a greenhouse or their basement?
Yeah, with native plants, it's a little tougher, just because they're not indoor plants. You could try, they still need full, the sun requirements that they have. If you don't get to them, they might also root out in your container. So you might just have to like pot them up and kind of baby them a little bit. If you don't get to them by the middle of May, I'd say still get them in the ground and just baby them in the ground. That might be easier on them than keeping them like, in a
What do you
house or.
mean by babying them? Because I'm imagining carrying them around in a stroller.
Which that is definitely my aesthetic too.
Like a proud parent.
Yeah, keeping a close eye on them, making sure they have water frequently. It's not necessarily like the amount of water. You don't want to like extra water them just once a week or something. It would be frequent water and then really observing them. And even still, and during that acclimation period, I've had plenty of, not plenty, I've had a few plants that have just gotten real cranky after they get planted. They drop all their leaves and get real dramatic and go away. And then in a few weeks, they're actually back and they're fine. So don't, I would say, don't be scared if your plants seem like they have died, especially your native plants. The non-native plants, they're not as hardy and used to our weather. And so that might be more of a challenge. If it's a boxwood and it throws all its leaves, that might actually be an issue because they're not really supposed to do that. But a lot of our native grasses and native flowering plants, they sometimes will just throw their leaves off and have a fit and then come back okay in a few weeks, next season, next year. So going back to your mindset, the mindset, the perception, it's important to remember too, we are not, you can think about it as buying individual plants and then keeping those individual plants. Or you can think about it as buying a set of plants to create a garden and seeing the garden as a whole. And you might lose one plant over here, but this one might spread. And now that's your garden, right? So thinking about it less as I bought a thing, I need to keep the thing alive, and thinking about it as I bought a bunch of things to create a space that is going to be a living grouping of plants. Makes it a little more tolerable. Just it makes it easier when something does die.
Thanks to Conchita Gibson, co-founder and president of the Wild Ones Delmarva chapter, and RJ Shah for enlightening us this week. You can hear more of their conversation on the Greens page at DelawarePublic.org. And we want to know what you're planting this year. Let us know by emailing thegreen@DelawarePublic.org. You can also email us there if you have a specific question or topic about gardening you'd like us to delve into.